Oh, well, good morning, everybody. I hope your morning's been a blessed one as we come again, once again, around the Word of God, and we look to Him to encourage us and uplift us. And we're going to go now to a word of prayer, and then we will commence our message for this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for the wonderful God that You are. We thank You, Lord, that You did not leave us comfortless, but You gave us the gift of Your Spirit, Lord, which brings about unity, brings about Your glory, Your holiness. He is at work producing Your grace at work in our lives, and we thank You for that, and all through the work that You did for us on the cross. Father, we are so grateful to You for all that You have done, and Lord, we are ever mindful that You are the one true God. And as we come before You again this morning, we ask, Lord, that You would be at work amongst us, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, yes, it's great to be back around the Lord's Word, isn't it? It certainly is. Now, just in way of our Lord's Supper with the lockdowns, it's been restricted a little bit for us. So what we're going to do is, if you would like to prepare, if we're still locked down next Sunday, if you would like to prepare at home the Lord's Supper, we're going to take part in that for next Sunday morning. And we'll do that online. And but hopefully we'll be open by then. So to bear that in mind, we will have the Lord's Supper next Sunday morning. And you can prepare all that at home. And we look forward to meeting, hopefully, back in church. But if not, that's what we will do for next Sunday morning. But before then, remember, we've been looking at burdens. We looked at how to hand our burden over to God. We looked last week at how to bear one another's burdens. And this morning we come to the last of just a short little three message series on bearing the heaviest burden of all. And I hope this prepares our hearts also for when we do take part of the Lord's Supper next week, that it gives us some food for thought about just what the Lord did for us. Now, if you'd like to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9, very shortly, we're going to read verses 24 to 28. But before we get there, I'll ask a question. What is the heaviest burden you have ever carried? Now, most of us would probably have to stop and think about that for a little bit. And maybe we could have missed the greatest opportunity because of a bad decision. Maybe a loved one left and in some way you can't move on because you were dependent upon them. It could be wealth that's gambled or lost. You may have wrongly been treated without any cause for it. It may even be that God could have called you to preach or serve Him in some way, but at that time you said no to Him and it's weighed heavily on you. But no matter what burden you have, you haven't truly been happy ever since that time. Now, there are many weighty troubles that people bear, but there is one burden that's heavier than all the rest. It's the most profound and heartbreaking and destructive of all burdens. What is the greatest burden of all? Well, it is sin. Now, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, people have faced the consequences of their transgressions. Now, even though we may not realize it, sin wears people out. It discourages them. It drains life from them, spiritually, mentally, and physically. And when a person continues to live with such heaviness of soul and spirit, it destroys them and it messes up their thoughts. However, those are the least of the consequences when one considers everyone must give an account of his or her life to God. Now, there are also eternal penalties for people's iniquities. See, there is no forgiveness for anyone apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our works cannot earn the forgiveness of God. To trust in God's mercy without any regards to, to being saved or his commands will not meet it. Future obedience as a way of paying for past sin cannot secure God's forgiveness. Apart from Christ, there is no forgiveness. And it is Christ and Christ alone is the basis for the forgiveness of sin. You know, bondage to sin comes by birth, but deliverance from sin comes from death. But if we die, then what good is it to be delivered, you may ask? Well, there's another way to die and yet live. You think of a small piece of paper. If you put that into a book, the paper still has an identity all of its own. It's still separate from the book. But now it's in the book and it shares something with the book. Now, let's say you took that book and you posted it to another person. It wasn't the piece of paper that was mailed, but it had been put into the book. So where is the paper? Well, obviously, whatever the book goes through, the paper's going to go through as well because it's still in the book. And when Christ was crucified, we who are in him through the new birth died and received all that he went through. And we received one thing more. We received deliverance from the bondage of our sin. Now in Hebrews 9:24-28, we read, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have offered, had suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now there's a few consequences to living without Christ, and then there's a consequence of accepting him. And the first consequence is the consequence of bondage. Verse 24 of Hebrews 9, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." You ask most people who are trapped in sin, and they will deny the fact that they are enslaved by their addiction. They usually insist that they can stop any habit at any time, whenever they want to. That's why rehabilitation places are so full of people who had to hit rock bottom before they could confess that something wasn't right in their life. Now, a person's sin enslaves them no matter what it is, even if it doesn't include some physical addiction. That's why one of the consequences of sin is bondage. Now, Christ came to set us free from sin and death. And living as a Christian, that is true freedom, because we're no longer bound up by the burden of sin. See, the heavy weight of sin was dealt with at the cross. And Christ now sits in heaven at the right hand of God. He is in the holiest of places, and not a place made with hands, not an earthly copy, but a real place where God dwells. You know, all the holy places made on earth were just copies of the true tabernacle or the true dwelling place of God. And think about this. At this very moment, Christ is there in the true heaven at the right hand of God. Now, a body cannot exist without a place to exist in. A body cannot exist in nothingness. And the Lord said to his disciples that he was going, in John 14:3, to prepare a place for them. And see, it's a place for those who have been set free from the burden of sin. It's not a place for everybody. People are not going to die, and God's not going to look at a book and say, "Well, you did more good things than bad things, come on in." No, a soul that has not been transformed by the love and power of Christ will not be in heaven. A soul that has not recognized that sin has separated them from God, a soul that they have no hope unless they change their mind about their sin and the position they are in and believe in the finished work of Christ, Those people, until they do that, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, the soul that has not been convinced about the terrible state that it is in, that heavy weight that is pressing down on them because of their rejection of God's truth. You know what the truth is? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, the people who are rejecting that, that Jesus can save them, are under the burden of bondage, and they will face the consequences of that bondage if they do not accept Christ on his terms, not theirs. You see, that there's no other way to be set free from the consequences of sin than to accept that Jesus was God in the flesh, come into this world to give himself as a sinless sacrifice on behalf of all of mankind, and it is in him alone that one finds true salvation. You know, many say they believe in God, but it is belief according to the word of God that saves a person. Now, do they believe that? Because James 2:19 is very clear. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You see, for those who love sin, for those whose lives are possessed by wrong passions, that soul would find heaven to be a very, very miserable place, because heaven is going to be a place of true joy, a place without sin, a place in which the presence of God will be forever and we will dwell with him forever. It is the place that Jesus now appears in God's presence for us. Now, the word appear there means to make manifest. In other words, it's a word that means to cause to shine. I like one of these terms. It is to present oneself to the sight of another. And that's what Jesus did. The moment he entered back into heaven, he immediately became our high priest before God for eternity. And right now, he is presenting himself to God for us. He puts forth those nail-scarred hands before our Heavenly Father for him to see the price has been paid, and it's been paid in full. There's not one work we can do or any man can do to save their soul from the pits of hell. The only thing one can do is to believe on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, believe that his shed blood and his shed blood alone is all the only thing that can wash away sin. You see, the price has been paid in full. And forgiveness of sin is the lifting of the heaviest burden of all. And it's been paid in full. What a blessing to know. The shackles of sin have been broken forever for those who are willing to believe biblically and put their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Verses 25 and 26 of our text, Hebrews 9 says, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Look at verse 25 there. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. Listen, the price of sin was paid once and once only. There is no longer any more sacrifices for sin. Jesus doesn't have to continually be put to death. Now, the Lord's table is representative of what Jesus did. It's not a reenactment. The juice and the bread do not become the body and blood of Jesus every time you have the Lord's table. The price of sin was paid once and once only. Do you know, every year the high priest would have to enter into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of a sacrifice upon the altar of God for the remission of sin. And from the beginning of time, the blood of Jesus has covered the penalty of sin. Those before he came into the world, his death on the cross, they looked forward to the cross. Since then, all the others have looked back on the cross. You know, Romans 4:2 tells us, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You know, from the very beginning, the heavy weight of sin needed to be put away and accept Christ, pay that penalty once for all. No one from Adam till this day, right now, would have received salvation. Now, Galatians 4:3 tells us, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see, only once in the end of the world, it tells us in verse 26, at the very right time, the perfect time, Christ appeared on this earth. He made himself visible, God in the flesh. Why? To deal with the penalty and the bondage of sin through his shed blood once for all. One of the consequences of sin is bondage. Secondly, the consequence of separation. Verse 27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Do you know there's only one opportunity and only one in becoming a Christian? And that is in the life we live now. Once a person dies, their fate has been sealed forever. There's no second chances. No one can pray you up out of the pits of hell. No one can pay another price. It's been paid once for all by Christ, and nothing else can change that. Now the believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and they will receive rewards or loss of rewards for their stewardship, but they are saved, they are safe, and they are secure. But for those who have rejected Christ, they will have to stand before God on judgment day at the great white throne judgment, and they will be cast into eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Now the sacrifice of Jesus was offered once and for all. It needs no repetition. It was and still is perfect. And unless a soul is alive at the rapture, death is certain. But be sure, death is not the end. Death brings in eternity with God, or eternity separated from him. Once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we will never be divided from God again. Amen. However, lost people continue to live apart from him as long as they reject Christ. You know why God hates sin so much? Because of what it does to his creation. He also hates sin so much because of what it does to his children. Do you know that sin causes division in relationships? Sin causes families to split asunder. Sin causes upsets with friends, just as it separates individuals from their Creator. You see, sin deadens people to the things of God. And God hates every form of sin because he sees what it does to us. You know, when a person chooses to live a godless life, they're actually choosing death over life from a spiritual standpoint. But once a person is saved by the grace of God, they're transformed and their spirit, it becomes alive. Remember the day you got saved? Yeah, it was amazing, that first love. You come alive. Now, if a person isn't spiritually minded, that might not seem too much of a big deal. However, as a believer, we want to do God's will. Amen. We want to live a godly life. But sin will deaden a person to the things of God. Now, Ephesians 2:1 tells us, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now there is an appointment that no one can escape, and it will only happen once, and we need to prepare for it. And a lot of things happens in a person's life, and we learn from them. You know, we may go through certain events many times, certain circumstances, they repeat themselves, and we can be ready and we can be waiting for them. But death is a one-time experience. It is a path that a person will only take once. It never happens again to a person. They die, and they need to be ready for it right now. Tomorrow could be too late. Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15, we read, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Well, you may be saying, "Well, hang on a minute. You just said there's only one death, and here's the second death." Yes, but I want to assure you, this is after the judgment. This second death is for eternity. It is the penalty for rejecting Jesus Christ as the only sacrifice for sin. It is eternal separation from God, the author of life, and people make the choice themselves, and they do it by not accepting his gift of grace. You know, when the wicked stand before God at the great white throne judgment, he is not going to weigh up the good and the bad they have done. They will receive the punishment due for willfully denying him. Now, John 3:16, that tells us how much God loved the world. He gave the very best he had in order to save man. And many think he would never pour out his judgment upon anybody. And the sad fact is, Christianity, many today preach that on the judgment day, God's going to say to everybody, "It's okay, come on in." But John 3:36 tells us, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So what can be done about it? That's the third point, the consequences of accepting Christ. How does one avoid sin's bondage and eternal separation from God? Verse 27 and 28. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, unto salvation." See, a person avoids the consequences of sin by accepting Christ as their Savior. You see, it's because of God's love for man that he sent his Son as a sinless sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sin, not his. He never sinned. And when we turn to him, Jesus lifts that heavy weight. He takes the burden of sin off us, and he takes it on himself, and he wipes out once and for all the effect of sin on that person's life. Verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. You see, he is our sin bearer, the one God chose to take the full responsibility for our transgressions and our condemnation. And Christ offers his life as a substitute payment for our sin, and because of that, we're set free from all the eternal penalties of our sin. Unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. Well, what a promise. This is God's promise. This is the blessed hope of all true believers. Jesus is coming again. Acts 1:9 we read, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Here they are looking at Jesus and he's talking to them, and all of a sudden he goes up. And while they looked steadfastly before towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's coming, he will appear without sin. The first time he appeared, it was related to sin. The second time, it will be to perfect salvation. But who's that for? It's those who are looking for him, those waiting for him, those born again, those who have faith in him and the fact he is coming again. Philippians 3:20 tells us, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. See, those who have faith in his coming. Then there's those who desire his coming. Revelation 22:20, even so come, Lord Jesus. Is that the cry of our heart? We yearn for him to turn up. Look at the world we live in today. The people are calling out for something to happen. Guess what? For the believer, we're looking for something to happen. We're looking for Jesus to come in those clouds. Those who expect his coming, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You see, he is coming without sin unto salvation. You see, he will raise the believers' bodies, those who have died before he comes. They will be reunited with their souls and they will be received into his glory. And he's going to say to them in Matthew 25:34, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:21 and 23. It says, his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:14 tells us, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, while there may be and will be consequences to our sins, you know, we reap what we sow, Jesus repairs what sin had destroyed, and that's our fellowship with God. See, that's how amazing, that's how awesome the crucifixion was. See, God the Father laid all our sin, all our guilt, all our judgment upon Christ and made it possible for us to live free from the burden of sin. He bore the greatest burden of all. So that leaves me with a question. And a question that has to be asked. If Jesus isn't my sin bearer, then how can I possibly deal with it? And the reality, the truth to that answer is, one can't. The only choice is to take hold of Christ as Saviour. You see, it was on the cross that Christ took our place. The everlasting suffering that sin intended for us was placed upon Him, and He was victorious over it. No longer do we have to worry about spiritual bondage. No longer do we have to worry about separation from God. No longer do we have to worry about eternal death. We have been set free. He took the heaviest burden of all time, the burden of sin, and replaced it with a victory for us. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Saviour. But that leaves us now with a responsibility, and that is to tell others about Him. We can't make them believe, but we can really make sure that they know all that Christ has done for them. That leaves me with another question. What do the lost see as important in our lives? What do our lost family members see of Christ in us? You see, there are only two choices in this world. Really, there's only two. You may say, oh, I've got many choices. No, the reality is there are only two that count. Jesus or eternal death. And when we lead others to make the right choice, we lead them to the one who paid the ultimate price for their sin. The one who carried the heaviest burden of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son into the world to redeem us back to You. Lord, it was a plan from the beginning that You would send Your Son to pay the ultimate price for sin, the death and the cruelty of the cross. But death was not the end. It led only to the resurrection and eternal life. And we pray, Lord, that You would give us a spirit of courage to preach the gospel to others. That You would help us to recognize the life that we live is watched by others. The words we say are heard by others. And may everything we do to the glory of Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope the Lord's blessed you this morning, and we look forward to bringing you another message for the afternoon. But until then, may God's grace be sufficient for us all. Amen. And in His name, we give Him the glory. Amen.